Okay, so we're going to be looking at Psalm 120. That's wrong. It's 147. I'll talk to the person who makes those slides. It's in my bathroom mirror. I see him. So yeah, Psalm 147. So I'm working yesterday at Second Saturday. That's our Cleveland outreach, right? And we've already heard about it this morning, right? What an amazing time of service and ministry it was. So this lady, she does the registrations, or what we would call the intake. Everyone has their driver's license out, and you know, when they pull in. And her name's Ruby Tyson. She's an awesome lady. So we're outside waiting for more cars to come. It's a little bit of a lull. And she says, "Hey, Ray, I've been so busy today that I haven't had a chance to get a feel for what people coming here are thinking today." So in other words, she's asking, what's the mood today? What's the mood? What's the theme today? And Ruby is so right on, because there's always a theme or a thread running through all those cars that come through, all those people that come through. And sometimes it's sadness. You'll just detect that everybody coming is just sad. Sometimes they're very upbeat. Sometimes they're very up, you know, and sometimes it's fear. And I got the best job in the whole place, okay? Because I get to ask each carload of people, "Hey, you know, welcome, good morning, welcome to the outreach. Have you been here before? I remember you. Hey, before we, no, I'm not the guy. You don't have to give me your driver's license. You don't have to give me any of that. What can we be, I just want to welcome you, and before you come in, what can we be praying about today?" And they're stuck in traffic. This is the best setup. They can't drive away, you know, and I'm next to the car so they don't run me over trying to get away. And I say, "So what can we be praying for?" And in other words, what I'm really asking for, what are your concerns today? What's on your mind? What's bothering you today? Because that's what we pray about, right? Very few people pull in and go, "I just want to praise the Lord today." No, they go, "Oh, I need help with, or I need this," right? So what's your concerns? What's bothering you? And it's amazing. It's amazing because it's the Lord, right? And as the morning goes on, you hear a common theme. You really do. Every month, it tends to, you know, and sure, there's, you know, certain people have certain specific prayer needs, but there's a common thread of kind of reflecting what's going on that month in our culture. And some days people pull in and they'll say, let's just pray and be thankful because I'm so blessed. And other times it'll be, "I'm afraid. I'm scared of this sickness." We saw that in the last couple months. And in recent months, "Let's pray for a cure for the virus." We used to hear that all the time. So there's usually that common underlying theme that people keep repeating. So Ruby says, "What's the mood today?" So she asked me yesterday. I already knew the answer to this because I've already been through 70 cars or so. And when I asked people how to pray for them, so many of them said the same thing. "Man, the world is out of control." Or, "Pray that God would get control of this or that. It's crazy out there. Man, it's just crazy. The world's gone crazy. I'm scared about what's going on. It's out of control. There's nobody at the wheel." And it's a terrifying thought, isn't it? Maybe, and that thinking fuels and promotes a feeling of helplessness and weakness. Because whatever you do, whatever you're trying to do, doesn't seem to have any effect on your situation, on the course of things. It's kind of like you're an out-of-control airliner, and you make your way up to the cockpit, and you open the door, and there's nobody in there. There's nobody at the wheel. And you feel helpless. And that's our culture today. That's our culture today. So if you think about it, you're bombarded with images and news stories and all this stuff. And it's usually not good. And it's usually, and it fuels and promotes a feeling of helplessness and fear, right? So you and it's a feeling that things are out of control. The virus, it declines and then it surges. It's not so bad and then it's going to kill you. It's like a whack-a-mole game, you know, that scientists or doctors are playing. It's not bad. Oh, yeah, it's deadly. Which is it? You get confusing device. We're told to listen to science, but the problem is scientists are all over the place. And they're giving conflicting advice, and we feel helpless and out of control. And there's violence like you haven't seen in decades. It's surging in the major cities. And no one seems to be able to even slow it down, let alone stop it. And we're helpless and out of control. And politics, hey, we're in a political season. I don't know if you've noticed that. Right? So politics lets us down yet again. We see candidates on the local and the national level that we wish weren't running. And again, we're helpless. Nothing we do seems to make a difference or change things. And that's the mood I got yesterday from the clients that came to Second Saturday. And maybe it's your underlying mood too. Maybe it's permeating you and your household. And if it is, you have a lot of company. You have a lot of company. And I would tell you this morning that you're right. Things are out of control. Things are out of control. You were right all along. Turn to the person next to you and said, I knew I was right. I knew it. I'm always right, by the way, right? Things are out of control, and that's why you feel helpless. That's why you feel helpless, because you don't have control. But here's the truth. You never had control. You never had control. You just thought you did. You never had control. You just thought you did. But let's read Psalm 147 and have our faith restored this morning. And we'll see that God is in control, and He has been all along. Okay? He's got this. He's got this. Psalm 147. Verse 1. Praise the Lord, the psalmist says. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. We experienced that already this morning. So he says, praise the Lord. Worship Him. Let it out. Praise Him. Praise Him in good times and bad times. There's no specifics here. Just do it. Praise Him. Praise Him when you're in the mood. Praise Him when it hurts to praise Him. The scripture says, sing it out. That's what it says. Praise Him because it's good and pleasant and fitting to do so. It's for your own good to praise the Lord. Worship Him, it says. Here's some reasons to do it. You're going to love this. You're going to love this as we look at this psalm. He doesn't just tell you to do it blindly. He's going to give you reasons why you should. And it's going to take away the bad feelings of helplessness, the terrible feeling of being out of control. This psalm is going to build you back up in courage and confidence. It'll be like flinging open that cockpit door and finding the best pilot in the world at the controls and him saying, go back to your seat. Strap yourself in. I got this. So here's why, says the writer. Verse 2, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. So reason number one, we can be confident in the Lord, is because He's restored Israel as a nation. Really? Yeah, that's big news, okay? Because no one on earth believed it could ever possibly happen, okay? But just like in the Old Testament, God restored Israel as a nation, and He's brought so many Jewish people back home from all over the earth. 3,000 years ago, you're talking about? No, I'm talking 1948. 1948, miracles in our own time that God does. And if God can do such things, then we can have supreme confidence that He is in control of all the events around the world. How about that? So when you hear about nations and all these things, you go, look, He brought Israel back. He's got this. He's got this. Right? Things may be out of our control, but He's totally in control of them. And nothing takes Him by surprise. So what else? Verse 3. The psalmist says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So look at this. God gives comfort. God gives comfort. God gives spiritual healing. When your situation's going bad, when sorrows and sadness comes, God's got this. He's in control here. His Holy Spirit comes. One of the names for the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. The Comforter. He brings peace to an out-of-control life. So he brings peace. It's okay, the Spirit tells you. He's got this. He's got this. Now look at this, verse 4. He, God, determines the numbers of the stars and calls them each by name. Don't let that go by too quick, okay? Ever looked up in the sky? He's in control. He's got the big picture. It tells you God's got the big picture, okay? Remember, he created all things, the whole universe. And the psalmist says he didn't just fling the stars out there. No, he knew exactly how many there were. And by the way, he named them all. So he knows each and every one, and he's keeping track of each and every one right now as we're talking. He's doing this. Does that give you a little more confidence? Think of how many stars there are. That is mind-blowing control. So what it tells me is he's powerful enough. He's powerful enough. He made all the stars, but he's also smart enough. He named and he tracks each one in real time. So it tells me if he can control all that, then he can do anything. He can do anything. That's an awesome verse right there. That's a verse to never forget. Okay? He's got this. Verse 5. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. So there again, he's got unfathomable power, and his wisdom and intelligence has no end. Listen, he's got the wheel. He's in control. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Tim Keller says when he was a kid, around 4 years old, his parents, they got him a toy steering wheel and they attached it to the glove box of the car. Those are the days when you could ride in the front seat. Lord, renew those in our day. Those are good times, right? Those are good times. And he's 4 years old and he's sitting in the front seat and he's got his plastic steering wheel and he is driving the car, or so he thinks. Okay? And you know, the car turns, he turns with it, and he's very serious about it. And in reality, it seemed like he was driving the car, but as we all know, he wasn't. His wheel really had no effect on the direction of the car, even though he thought it did. So who did have control of the car? His father did. His father did. His father had complete control at all times. And the reason people today are feeling so helpless and out of control is because they've come to realize that all they have is a toy steering wheel for their life. And it's a very big shock to us. It's a very big shock. No matter which way they turn it, their life keeps going in another direction, or they're dragged along with the culture. But it's just like Tim Keller. Praise be to the one behind the real steering wheel. Our Father. His father was behind the wheel in his car. Our Father is behind the wheel of the world. He's the great and mighty God. We sang it before. God is able. God is able. He's got this. Verse 6. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Okay, the psalmist said, you be humble. You be humble. You acknowledge your weakness and your inability to control things. And acknowledge his greatness, not yours, and you'll be okay. And look, the wicked, you worry about all the bad guys? Well, no one can control the bad guys. God says, I got this. The bad guys that are out of control, I got them. He's got them too. Okay? And so in light of these things, what are we to do? Verse 7, the psalmist says, sing to the Lord with grateful praise. make music to our God on the harp. So sing out to him, let it out, don't bottle it up inside you when it's time to praise the Lord. Don't be so worried in worship time, loosen up and praise him. And the psalmist says, here's even more reasons to have courage. Verse 8, he, God, covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. So he didn't just make the world. He provides for it, for its ongoing health. He didn't just create it and leave it to be. And he provides constantly for its ongoing health. And it's the same for you. He didn't just make you. He sustains you. He's monitoring your needs and providing for you in advance. He's got this, and he's got you. Verse 10. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Doesn't mean he doesn't like horses, okay? It just means that the great philosopher Shania Twain once said, that don't impress me much, okay? And that's what God says. All your accomplishments, that doesn't impress me that much. Because God looks not on the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. He's not impressed with your strength or your wealth or your accomplishments. No, he says, the psalmist says, the Lord delights in those. What is he impressed with then? If he's not impressed with those things, he's impressed when you put your hope and your trust in him and not yourself. Do that, and God says, that's impressive. That's impressive. So in other words, you want to impress God, let go of the wheel. Stop spinning your toy steering wheel and bragging about your driving skills, okay? Because you're not doing it. He took you to where you are in life. Trust him to continue the journey. Let go of the wheel and use these hands. If you're not trying to control your life, it gives two free hands to get to work for God. How about that? And get busy. Okay? So do the work that he's planned for you. Recognize God for who he is and put your hope totally in him. And the Bible says you'll bring delight to his heart. How would you like to bring delight to God? How would you like to make God happy? That's one of the things of our church, is to bring joy to God. We want to bring joy to God. We want him to look at us and go, yeah, you're making me happy what you're doing. Verse 12, the psalmist says, extol the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, Zion. He strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. We're talking about security and provision. You could easily apply this to America, couldn't you? I think you could. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? It's so true. We've been blessed beyond measure as a nation. We have peaceful neighbors on our borders, and even though the Canadians talk funny, but he's given us a powerful military, right, to protect us. We have safety, and he feeds us. Our grocery stores are overflowing with incredibly good things that we can purchase. It's an amazing time. So the psalmist says, praise him for that, because other nations don't have it so good. And I might add something. Beware of the reverse of this verse. If that's true, and it is, then the opposite could be true also. What happens when, as a nation, we don't extol him, instead we mock him, or we ignore him as a culture or as a nation? Do you think the peace and prosperity will continue? I don't. I think it will end. The Lord will say, in effect, you think you don't need me? Okay. You'll find out who's really protecting you, and it's not the U.S. Army. You'll find out who's really feeding you, and it's not Giant Eagle. So the psalmist says, praise him now. Verse 15. He sends his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. The psalmist says he didn't just create everything and provide everything. If you look at that verse closely, he sends commands to the earth. That's present tense. That's real time. That means right now he is actively running things. He's sending orders to the earth. He's steering and adjusting all things at all times. He's constantly in control. He's got this. Verse 16. He spreads the snow. Oh no, I don't want to even think about that. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down his hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? So God brings the seasons. God brings the seasons. Winter, spring, summer, fall. That's awesome. He's the God of nature. He's the God of nature. You know, there really, and I hope this doesn't burst your bubble, but there really is no Mother Nature. Did you know that? But there is really a Father God. And nature and weather are awesome. But watch this. Look at this verse in a different light. Maybe the seasons aren't only in nature. Maybe the seasons are in people's lives. And we can be talking about age, or we could be talking about what's happening, what's going on in people's lives. So maybe it's the seasons of your life, warm, happy summer seasons of life when things are going great, and cold, unforgiving seasons of despair and hurt when things are on the rocks. Spring seasons, new growth, new opportunities, new relationships, new jobs, and fall times when those things are dying off. And yet the Lord is in all of it. He's in control of even that, always. He's got this too. And look at this, watch this. Verse 18, he sends his word and melts them. He stirs up his breezes and the waters flow. So the picture before was frozen, ice, and snow. But the Lord sends his world, his word, and melts them. He thaws it out. So he speaks and the winter of your life ends. The ice around people's hearts begins to melt. Cold, frozen hearts that you thought were beyond reach start to melt when God speaks. As they respond to the word of God, he sends his word and melts them. Listen, who's the God who's in control? He brings springtime to dead and dying relationships that are cold and dead. And you know, I love the seasons, because when you walk around here in March or February, I mean, our world is dead as a doornail around here. Frozen, brown, dead grass and trees just sitting there. You just want to just cut them down. There's nothing. The birds are gone. It's just dead. And if that was your first winter and you didn't know any better, you would say, the world's over. But if you've experienced springtime, then you know we can come out of this. It's the same in people's lives, especially when God's word is involved. So he can bring springtime to dead and dying relationships. And here's the thing. When the relationship between a person and God begins flowing, when that ice is melted around their heart, and that relationship is mended, other relationships begin to mend. Maybe not overnight, but all those other relationships begin to heal. Healing comes because of the relationship that's repaired with God. So God is flowing and healing all of your other relationships. So also, verse 19, He has revealed His word to Jacob, His laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They don't know His laws. He's saying no one else knew any of this stuff except Israel. The good news is He's revealed this to you. He's revealed this to you. But He did it first for the Jewish people. First for the Jewish people. And they passed it on to us. They passed it on to us. And we're transformed and we're blessed by it. We're totally different because of it. Other nations or other individuals, not so much. Not so much, because they don't know what we've been talking about. All the people who don't know what we've been talking about today, they still feel helpless and abandoned and out of control. But not us. Not after what we've just read. Not after what we've just experienced and read. So, verse 20, praise the Lord. Because of what the psalmist told us that we already knew, but we need to be reminded. And we need to give thanks. And again, that connection to God in worship. Praise the Lord. He's in control. He's got this. Let's pray together. Father, forgive us for all the times we've had our plastic steering wheel attached to the glove box and we thought we were in total control of everything, Lord. When it seems like the only thing we were in control of is when we made mistakes. You've blessed us. You've brought us to this place. We see Your hand looking back, looking at it from this side. We see Your hand has been with us in all our lives. You have been in control. What an encouragement this morning to know that You're still in control. That even right now, You're running the big picture, the world, the universe, but You're running our lives. You're looking to see what we need and how You're going to provide for us in every realm. Help us to pass that word along, Lord. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit that we can have Your peace and Your understanding in these matters and that it would flow out of us into our culture and our neighborhoods. We thank You, Lord, for this encouragement and word today. Amen.